It is hilarious.
What an amazing comeback! You just cannot write scripts like this.
Welcome, everybody, to the Final Countdown, a podcast looking back at great final days within the game of football.
Oh, clever.
I am Lewis, here once again with my co-host, Adam.
Hello there.
So we're going to get straight into it today. For those that haven't been paying attention to the episode titles, we are in episode 3 of the Final Days, which is where we're taking a break from the final countdown of great games in football and focusing on the farewells of iconic players. So who is it today, Addy?
It is Michael Owen.
Oh, a firm favourite.
England's most hated pundit.
Yes.
And most not celebrated striker, but he was certainly very celebrated at the time.
There was a time he was the great English hope, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But as a Liverpool fan, I try and remember the good times, but I'm sure we'll get into that rather than
how
it all ended.
But of course.
Yeah, what a player.
Absolutely, mate. And he, unlike Michael Richards, burst onto the scene.
That's a good reference. Good pull.
Yeah, I think you just got to be careful, haven't you? Because I burst onto the scene, didn't I? And I was going to be the next best thing. I think he's got a real.
Did you burst onto the scene?
Burst? You don't remember my head against on Villa? Do you not remember that? No.
Quite a few defenders burst onto the
scene. So yeah, he was an absolute teenage prodigy.
Yeah.
Like breaking records all over the place. He actually broke Ian Rush's D-side area primary school's record.
Is that right?
Which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, very cool.
And also broke Gary Speed's appearance record in that D-side primary school area. Yeah, strange, isn't it? So he broke two other professionals' record. Ian Rush's record was 20 years old, but he beat the record for the same team by scoring 97 goals in a single season.
It just takes the piss, doesn't it? Can you imagine being the opposition team?
Yeah.
Just being like, we will not get points against this team because one of their young lads is going to score 8.
Amazingly, he beat Rush's record by 25 goals.
That's a golf, isn't it? When you think about like the difference.
And Rush's record had stood for 20 years.
I bet you Rushy's gone, right, there we go, that's set. I know nobody looks at the schoolboy records, but I've sealed that one up for a century. And then little Michael Owen comes along.
So yeah, he was quick, he was incredibly match aware, which is one of the main things that attracted Liverpool to actually take him. So he wasn't just fast striker, you know, once he loses his pace, although I guess you could make that argument, but
anticipation.
Later in his career. Yeah, anticipation, awareness, positioning, making the right runs. He was a phenomenon. And he broke into Liverpool's team in the kind of late 90s.
Yep.
97 onwards. So I got a few kind of unknowns to blow your mind as we set up. We're going to focus, obviously, with these. We can't focus on every single part of their career.
Yep.
Interestingly, I veered away from England.
That is strange, especially for you.
Yeah.
That's normally your bread and butter.
It, absolutely. So I'm sure we'll mention it, but we're going to focus more on his final countdown of his club career, which, as I said, off air, it is a bit of a sad story. But it started with an absolute explosion. He was Liverpool's top goal scorer from 97 to 2004.
That does not surprise me at all.
Amazing,
although,
isn't it?
I think in the 01 when we won the treble, I think he finished one goal above Emil Heskey. Which, when you think about that, it's the only season Heskey had for Liverpool where he banged in the goals, got something like 21 or 22 goals, and I think Owen had 23 in the Premier League. But yeah, Owen was.
I was quite surprised by that.
But we went on a run, didn't we, of having like Rush, Fowler,
but
Owen.
Was Fowler pre Owen?
Well, they did play in the same team, but Fowler broke through a bit, younger than Owen.
I'm just surprised
Fowler
that Owen
broke
through
like 93-ish.
Right, okay, fine. I was surprised Owen was top scorer from 97 onwards and Fowler didn't.
Well, we binned off Fowler in 2000, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Leeds and then Man City Leeds. Can't remember which way around it was. But,
okay.
Yeah, we went on that run of like, Rush, Fowler, Owen. Then it was like Torres, Suarez, and then Salah. Like we've always
strong
had a talismanic striker
for
basically 40 years.
Well, he was talismanic, obviously, for 7 seasons in a row. He was the top goal scorer before he left. We'll get to that. Another unknown, or maybe known, Owen is one of 10 players to have scored 150 or more goals in the Premier League.
Oh, interesting. So you think about the 100 club, and that's relatively wide, but 150.
150, one of 10 players, and of course we're going to play the game.
Oh, how many?
Can you name
them? Here we go. Alan Shearer.
Yep.
Harry Kane.
Yep.
Thierry Henry.
Yep.
Ruud van Nistelrooy?
No.
Get to 150. Michael Owen.
Michael Owen. Michael Owen's number 10.
Oh, so he just scrapes in. Great strikers. See, I just go to iconics. I'm like, Didier Drogba definitely didn't get near.
No,
that.
He didn't
get anywhere near.
No. God, mate, you've only got four. This is a bit.
Mo Salah.
Mo Salah. That's your Liverpool bias talking there, mate.
Ian Wright.
No, interestingly. Ooh. That's a good shout, but no, he didn't get 100 in the Premier League era.
Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, Rooney's second.
Second? Bloody hell, he was a good striker,
wasn't
he?
He was, yeah, yeah. There's a very obvious one for third, present day.
Not Sergio Aguero, because he won.
Aguero, yeah, is one, but that's not present day, but that is one. That's number six you've got.
I'm just putting this in there for the bants. Erling Haaland.
He's not far
off. He'll get it next season.
Yeah. This man had a particularly bad time in the last few days. 21 minutes of a bad time.
I said Harry Kane.
No, you didn't. 21 minutes of a bad time?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Harry.
Isn't that Tottenham summed up? They lose 5-0, but Harry Kane gets his goal, so all's well in the world.
It's quite a good goal. Didn't celebrate it, did he? Right, and the last three.
Put me out of my misery.
Yep. Jermaine Defoe.
Oh, that's good. Under the radar.
Robbie Fowler.
Oh, interesting.
And then, amazingly, Frank Lampard.
That's just an anomaly.
It's just another
level.
He has
no right being there, but absolutely unbelievable.
It is cool, isn't it? Yeah, so 150 goals in the Premier League. That is the list of 10 that have made it. Owen is also the only player, this is cool, to have scored in four consecutive major tournaments for England.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So 98, 2000, 2002, 2004.
That's strange.
And then obviously 2006, he cricked his knee over. That was horrible.
Oh,
to watch.
Yeah, that was nasty. Yeah, right by the touchline, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
But it's interesting because you don't... I'm sure this is basically the, like, his career in microcosm. We're going to look into it. But you don't always think of Owen being a success internationally because you think about how he announced himself at the World Cup.
It always kind of went downhill after that, didn't it?
He's just tied to England, flattering to deceive at all the major tournaments. But he still got his goals. Like, we've seen that's not always easy. Like, Rooney took a while to get a World Cup goal.
Yeah.
Well, Harry Kane's a freak, to be
fair.
But.
You talk about Liverpool always having a talismanic striker. I think also in this country, England have always had one.
Yeah.
I think there's always one that's like, oh, if he's playing, we might nick a goal. Yeah, and obviously, we still got that with Kane. Go back as far as, you know, in my age group, Lineker, you know, people that were like, oh, yeah, he's playing.
You've always got a chance.
And Owen was that guy for a good
until
season
until Rooney
of time.
Took over, really.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. In 2004, ironically, which was, yeah, they played together for a little while, didn't they? But injuries-wise, he never really flourished with Rooney. Wasn't given the chance because of what happened with his body. But, yeah, for that period of time, kind of, you know, from the wonder goal, 98 onwards, it was like, oh, Owen's playing, we'll probably bag a goal here. But, I mean, we're not going to talk about England, but that goal against Argentina in 98, that left me with the feeling of Owen can just take on everybody.
Beckham now to Owen, and here's another Owen run. He's going to worry them again. It's a great run by Michael Owen, and he might finish it off. Oh, it's a wonderful goal! What an amazing moment in Michael Owen's young career. A fantastic run that frightened the Argentinians, and a most unerring finish beyond Roa to make it 2-1 England. A terrific moment.
Well, you just don't do this at 28 years of age, let alone 18. He runs at people, the pace is frightening, but the finish is unbelievable.
It is obviously a fantastic goal, but it's not just the goal itself. It's the pressure, it's the occasion, it's the age he has. And you think, if he can do that with the fearlessness that he has now, like, what is he going to be capable of as he gets older?
Yeah. Which I guess adds to the sad story. In some ways, I guess he would say actually he did well. Like, he won the Ballon d'Or. He was FIFA World Player of the Year, second to Zidane in 98.
Yeah.
Like, at 18. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, so Owen was phenomenal at Liverpool to begin with. He broke records. He ran Liverpool. I forgot this. He ran Liverpool close in two league campaigns.
Yeah.
Either side of the Arsenal Invincibles. Ran United, I say close, but they were the main title contenders.
Yeah.
Not necessarily close like we're experiencing
at the moment
with Arsenal City, but in terms of who is second, Liverpool were there, and that was mainly down to Owen and his scoring rate. His frightening pace, as we talked about, unfortunately with his frightening pace, it came at risk to his body, namely his hamstrings.
Yeah.
And I remember one particular, I think it was against Leeds, I think it was the first time it pulled out, he was just sprinting, wasn't he? And it just pops.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to see, but you basically realised his whole body was made of balsa wood held together by PVA glue. Like, it's amazing.
Balsa wood. Yeah, does anyone use balsa wood outside of school? Is that used for anything?
Well, when I was growing up, I thought this is how you build houses. Clearly, it's like quicksand when you realise that that isn't going to be as big a part of your life as you're told as a kid.
Someone should do a YouTube video and make a house of balsa wood.
Well, Michael Owen was basically a professional footballer made of it, so somebody's been practising somewhere.
Yeah, brilliant. So anyway, by the early 2000s, Owen, despite having a number, three major hamstring injuries, by the early 2000s, he was back and again making history as Liverpool did the Mickey Mouse treble.
Whoa, that's needless. We don't need to. It was a treble. Let's just say it was a treble. We don't need to get into the specifics of anything.
Riding on the back of Fergie's antics in 99, mate, it always did feel a little bit.
It's the Diet Coke version. It's better for your health. We didn't even want the full fat version. Why would we bother with the Champions League when we can win the Worthington Cup, the UEFA Cup, and the FA Cup?
That even sound good, does it? So, in fairness, Owen's two goals against Arsenal in the FA Cup final, the first cup final, which we've covered actually at Cardiff, were brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And it kind of re-announced him as to being a world beater, beating an ageing Tony Adams, but ultimately, still a very strong Arsenal.
Yeah, it's a historic back line, whichever way you look at it.
And then beating David Seaman on the angle. Yeah, brilliant goal. Absolutely brilliant goal. And it kind of like, Owen is back. Bolton Wanderers, interestingly, as at the end of that season said, Bolton Wanderers manager Sam Allardyce was quoted as saying, "Stop Michael Owen scoring and you are 50% towards getting a result at Anfield."
I mean, he's not wrong, but how do you do that? At the time, he was kind of
unplayable. Kind of point he was making. It was after they'd lost 4-1 at Anfield. And he was like, "We played all right, but unfortunately Owen played."
And that
was kind of, I put that quote in there because I thought it was interesting that it kind of embodied Owen's early career.
Yeah.
Really, the Liverpool years, sadly.
His prime.
There's no way of knowing what would come afterwards. Unfortunately, having won the Ballon d'Or and kind of like flourishing in Liverpool, and they were becoming much more of a threat, winning trophies under Gerard Houllier, the Real Madrid hand came a knocking on the door.
The hovering spectre.
Yeah, and they were, and we've covered this with Beckham. It was a little bit like that. They essentially were like, if you're a great player, we're going to buy you.
Yeah, there wasn't ever a question. It was like, Real Madrid wanting you. Okay, cool. When am I going? Even like Owen at this point, it's his like boyo club and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there was, I don't even remember, maybe you'll talk about this, but I don't even remember Liverpool fans particularly being like devastated because
kind
it was like, if Real Madrid come in, it's the one club you kind of think, well, okay, I understand why you want to go. Like, we were gutted.
Yeah.
But
just interesting, because it's not like Beckham, is it? There was no fallout. Liverpool were on the up. They ran later, and we'll get to it, but they ran Chelsea close in 04 to kind of Owen's last season, Liverpool. So it's not like he was kind of like, oh, this is rubbish.
No, he didn't check out. We were doing, in a way, we were kind of overachieving because sometimes you look at the strength of those squads think, how were we finishing second in the Premier League? We had no right. Which ultimately, I think, led to Owen going, I'm a Ballon d'Or winner. Yeah, we've won a Mickey Mouse treble, but I want real silverware and I want to be counted up against the greats, so you can understand him going to Real.
Yeah, or maybe he's just a greedy bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I mean, unfortunately, history kind of presents that a little bit that it might have come into it as well. I don't, don't know. I mean, the guy is weird. Like,
I'm so glad
I loved him, but he's a weirdo.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was like, I'm so glad we're talking about his footballing career and not his strange corporate sponsorship and his horse racing.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, I keep getting bothered at the moment on social media to learn a foreign language, by Michael Owen.
Oh my God. Yeah. They should rebrand it as a send you to sleep app.
I don't know if he teaches me. He's the face of it. Anyway, Real Madrid president Florentino Perez started as early as in March 2002 to pursue Owen. So publicly declaring his intentions to make Owen the next Galactico, stating the best players must play for Real Madrid.
Yeah, well, that was the whole branding, wasn't it? But I do like that it only really happens in Spain. But in Spain, the club fans elect the club president.
Yeah.
And it's like it's literally like a politician's run. So every 4 years, they get, the candidates and they all
get
press conferences. And often the selling point is, if you elect me to the board, I will bring in. And they name the players, which is a ballsy move to make.
It's like a manifesto for politicians, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's kind of bizarre, but I quite like that they nail their colours to the mast and be like, if you want Ronaldinho playing for your team, you will elect me.
I mean, how could they possibly know if that deal was possible?
It's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, Liverpool manager Gerard Houllier laughed off any apparent interest at that point, saying they might be able to afford Ronaldo, but they cannot afford Michael Owen.
I love the spirit of that, Gerard, but let's rein it in a little bit, shall we?
He went on, for that kind of money, they could only buy his left foot. He is not going anywhere.
Which is ironic, really, because we think, skipping ahead slightly, they get him on the cheap, really.
But, they do. Yeah. Well, we're there. But a couple of years later, 2004, Gerard Houllier's sacking as Liverpool manager meant that speculation about Owen's departure from the club began. During the first few Champions League games at the start of the 2004-05 season, Owen sat on the bench to avoid being cup-tied for the Champions League.
Oh, I don't remember that.
No, I couldn't find anything about whether that was the player doing that or whether there was a deal in the making and they had requested it or what. I mean, it was the early, so I'm guessing it was the qualifiers.
Yeah.
So they must have finished
fourth.
He's not
like needed, yeah.
So they were qualifying. And therefore, Real Madrid signed Owen for a fee of $8 million, which is crazy.
Bargain basement. I think he was coming towards the end of his contract, which obviously makes players cheaper. But in today's day and age, it's an absolute steal. And I know
you
that
think
we
Shearer went for 15, 10 years before that?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's the end of his career. Not end of his career. End of his contract was looming. And also it's Real Madrid, so you know the player wants to go. So I think it's just... But and also, I think like Rafa Benitez didn't really have room for a player like that in his team, the way he plays. There wasn't that kind of poacher, fox in the box.
Yeah, true.
He started to bring in a lot of players like a Luis Garcia, who's kind of... a very deep forward who likes to link up play, who likes to work hard, and Owen wasn't that player. So I think Benitez was probably relatively happy to let him go as well.
Yeah, so they signed him for $8 million. Another indicator as well of the non-marketability of Owen in comparison with Beckham, who went for $37 million a year before. Like, that is crazy money. But interestingly, midfielder Antonio Nunes moved in the other direction to kind of make weight a little bit. So $8 million isn't necessarily a value. Probably was closer to 15.
For those that saw Antonio Nunes play, I think giving him a $7 million valuation is probably a little bit pricey. Oh, there was some dross in those years. It's why I'm just enjoying the good times while they last at Liverpool, because I remember the dark years.
Yeah, absolutely. So Owen went to Madrid. He was unveiled in front of the Real Madrid fans, massive fanfare, as you'd expect. England's number one striker, becoming one of the Glasgow's. Unfortunately, he struggled in the kind of first few months of the season, didn't score, didn't really get on, as you said. He wasn't used an awful lot, not a lot of faith placed in him.
No, he basically was a super sub for a lot of his time there. He'd come on for 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting you say that, because that's exactly what happened. He struggled initially. He went on the international break in October, where he scored for England, came back and he started scoring for Madrid. Confidence of scoring for England, but still often from the bench.
Yeah.
He ended the 2004-05 season with 13 goals in La Liga, which actually doesn't sound great, but it was the season's highest ratio of goals scored to number of minutes played.
That's what I mean. It's crazy they weren't using him. I understand that in England, he was the, like, wonder kid, but in Spain, he was just another Galactico.
Yeah.
He wasn't the...
Was Ronaldo still there?
Yes.
I mean, you can understand that a little bit, can't you?
Yeah. Sorry, Gerard, for your advice, but if I've got Ronaldo or Owen, I think I'll pick him.
This might be controversial, but maybe it's not at all. But Beckham fitted as a Galactico.
Yeah.
Owen didn't, really.
No, because he doesn't have anything extra going for him. He's effectively just a boring sod, and that's all there is.
And this is no ordinary chopper. It's got special powers, and once we're airborne, you'll see just what I mean.
Hey, I think that's actually Sam Torrance down there, the ex-Ryder Cup captain. Let's just drop down a bit to check.
Sorry about that, folks. Just a bit too low. The shatterproof glass came in handy, but I don't think Sam's going to be too pleased with us getting in the way of his drive. Good thing he has that great Scottish sense of humour.
I mean, he's very into horse racing.
Too into horse
racing. Doesn't really
suspiciously.
Fit. That doesn't...
All I'm saying is Sir Alex Ferguson's into horse... I'm just going to leave it hanging in the air, because Sir Alex Ferguson is into horse racing in a normal way.
Yeah.
Owen seems to take a strange, peculiar thrill from being a horse owner.
Spends a lot of time with the horses.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Rebecca Lewis, allegedly. okay, yeah, so following... Madrid's signing of two high-profile Brazilian forwards at the end of the 04-05 season, Robinho and Julio Baptista.
Oh, yeah.
The speculation then arose that Owen would return to the Premier League. Interestingly, he then stayed a little bit longer, thinking he would be able to break into the team. Didn't break into the team and made his way back. So into which the part of the story which we'll talk to now. Just to sum up his time in Madrid, Owen scored 16 goals from 45 games. Doesn't sound great, but 26 of them were starts.
Yeah, I mean
16 goals. I don't have the stats here for how many he scored as a sub, but 16 from 26, you'd be like, that's all right.
Yeah, it's a good return. Yeah.
But I guess against the team that they were trying to build, it was just nothing. Robinho and Julio Baptista coming in, and it kind of signaled the end, yeah. And he started looking for a way out. And he found one, but not necessarily where he wanted it. So Michael Owen is kind of well documented. He went to Newcastle, but didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the best way of summing it up. Liverpool wouldn't pay what Madrid wanted.
From memory, they wanted more than they had paid to get him.
Yeah.
They wanted something like 13 million and Liverpool like, we'll go to five or something like that.
Absolutely. Which is really bizarre, being that he hadn't really played.
Yeah, but we get to sign a Galactico. It's so weird. It's like selling water to a well. It's like, you know the player that we paid 8 million for?
Yeah.
He's now a Real Madrid player, so he's actually more expensive. It's like, but you've not played him. You've not used him. So why would we pay more?
Really strange. Owen himself wanted to play. The 2006 World Cup was obviously at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. We're into 05-06. And he was like, I want to play. So he wanted to play fine first team football. Liverpool wouldn't pay. Everton actually entered the race, which I thought was interesting, but they wouldn't obviously get to that.
Yeah.
So Newcastle stepped in and 20,000 Geordies welcomed him to Tyneside, and it seemed like it was a bit of a fit.
Yeah, it's strange because like you say, his attitude showed that he wasn't really that, like Newcastle kind of came out of nowhere eventually where it's like, oh, it's the only team that was willing to pay the price, so Owen kind of has to go there.
Yeah.
But there was a sense of, right, we've got England's number one striker, like the days of Shearer. It's almost like the Newcastle fans willing into existence the idea that Owen could be a new Shearer.
Because he played with Shearer for not long, but he did play with
98,
Shearer.
98, yeah.
No, at Newcastle.
Ooh.
I thought they played together, maybe one season.
Wow. That'd be amazing if it was, I don't remember, but... let's do a fact check.
Yeah, okay. Let's leave that fact check. I thought I had in my memory that they came together at Newcastle right at the end of Shearer's career.
Some time later.
So, fact checked in. We can say that they did play together for one season. So, Addy, you were right.
Well, there you go, mate. I had some kind of memory that they wore the black and white together. Yeah. It was never a success.
No.
But, I mean, that's Owen at Newcastle, really.
Yeah, very, very little of Owen's time is a success post-Liverpool.
Yeah, and the injury started to come. But ultimately, there was this kind of hanging rumour over Owen at Newcastle that he didn't want to be there.
Mm.
And I think that kind of tainted everything that was bad. Even to the point where people would suggest that he was like feigning injuries or making them worse than they were
because
he just didn't want to play.
And especially, this is hugely stereotypical, but speaking as a Liverpool fan, there is that sense of like, especially northern working class background clubs, Liverpool, Newcastle, you just want a player that puts their body on the line and is willing to give everything. Like, we love a trier. Like, the fact that Liverpool fans sing Nunez's name, despite the fact he's not really been a brilliant striker for us since he signed.
Yeah.
Like, we love somebody that just tries, and it's the same with Newcastle fans. And when you, like you say, if you think, oh, somebody's afraid to put their body on the line, kind of, you're always working uphill then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's Owen's time at Newcastle. He did okay, but never brilliantly. Like, he's a brilliant goal scorer and he'll eventually score goals if he's in the right position. But it was never like it was at Liverpool. It was never prolific.
No.
And like I said, there was this constant rumour that he didn't want to be there. May 2007, so only a year and a bit after he had joined, Newcastle chairman Freddie Shepherd reacted angrily to reports that Owen could move on to another club at the end of the 06-07 season. A report in the Times newspaper suggested Owen could be available for less than 10 million and could be a target for the likes of Chelsea, who by this point were a major force,
yep.
Man United, Liverpool and Arsenal. And that's quite a big thing. Like, it's a major newspaper.
Yeah, sure.
Like, reporting that Owen is on his way towards the end of the 07 season. Despite these reports, Shepherd warned Owen to show some loyalty publicly. Mm. And warned him none of the big four clubs want him.
Ooh.
It's out there, isn't it, for a chairman?
Throwing some darts.
So in a video posted on YouTube, however, a group of Liverpool fans asked Shepherd if they could re-sign Owen. He responded by saying,
"Bring him back, friend. Listen, I'll fucking carry him back for you."
Really? For 9 million, yeah?
Shepherd also stated his dislike of Owen's agent, but praised Owen himself as a good lad.
Strange, isn't it? Maybe you just didn't like the circus around it and people asking the question constantly.
It is weird. I mean, chairman with a personality is quite rare nowadays. Yeah. I think that's why the Wrexham story actually is what it is, because people like personalities. Mm-hmm. Freddie Shepherd was one of those.
Yeah.
But it's a bit out there.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I can't think of many other circumstances where a chairman would publicly badmouth a player or the agent or the setup.
Yeah, the surrounding.
But he's still there.
I wonder if by association he just didn't like the fact that people weren't talking about Newcastle as a big club, because it's like, Owen's here, but he should go on to one of the big four. Like, what? Like, let's just bring him somewhere else. I don't know.
I mean, it's like Newcastle up until really Eddie Howe, is they flattered to deceive, didn't they? They were always kind of like making big noises without actually achieving an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you stuff Tottenham 5-0 in 21 minutes, you know you're a big club.
Oh, yeah. That's the way that you announce yourself onto the world stage.
So Owen stayed another season, despite Freddie Shepherd kind of saying that. Maybe he was responding to the show some loyalty. Maybe he just wanted the paycheck. Who knows? But he did stay another season. He scored only 13 times in a constantly injured period or an injured season, bringing us to the end of the 08-09 season. Under the transfer rules, it was the end of, or was the, it was the final year of his contract, 08-09, with Newcastle. Owen would have been allowed to sign a pre-contract agreement, similar to Beckham at the end of Madrid, with other clubs during the January transfer window, so January 09.
Yeah.
On the 22nd of December 2008, Owen rejected a new contract offer from Newcastle, but stated that he would not be seeking a move in the January transfer window and instead intended to postpone talks over his contract situation until the end of the season. Kind of announcing he's not staying, but trying to win favour by saying he won't discuss it in January, which seems a little bit of a gesture.
I think he's just keeping his options open, clearly. I wonder if there wasn't enough option. Like, I wonder if his agent hadn't had that many, you know, people sussing him out in towards January, and maybe he's gone, possibly, you know what, I'll wait to the end of the season and see what's available.
Yeah, unfortunately, it backfired in a big way. This is kind of part of the final countdown of Newcastle days for Owen. He took the gamble not to discuss it in January, didn't set anything up when he had actually been scoring. He'd scored, I think, 10 of the 13 goals he'd scored before that contract offer in December. Went into January, I'm doing the right thing, apparently. I'm not going to discuss the contract. Unfortunately, the season tailed off for Newcastle in a big way. It culminated in Alan Shearer being brought in as a temporary manager for the final eight games of the season to try and save them. He failed.
Yeah.
Newcastle were relegated for the first time in 15 years from the Premier League on the final day of the season, 24th of May 2009. So 24th of May 2009, 2 weeks later on the 14th of June, it was reported, this is crazy, that Owen's management company, Wasserman Media Group, had sent out a 34-page brochure advertising Owen to several potential clubs.
Yeah, he put together like a PDF, basically.
That is surreal.
Yeah, trying to sell himself, because I think we can't state how much the injury news and the injury, like, it was an asterisk against Owen, where it's like, he's so injury-prone.
Yeah.
You might be getting a brilliant player, but he's basically held together with sticky tape, so, yeah.
So it backfired, him not sorting a contract out in January, because ultimately now he was a Championship player, desperate to play in the Premier League, which obviously meant his stock was down because people aren't going to pay as much for a Championship player. So his media group sent out, I can't imagine getting that in the
post. It's available online. You can see the thing online. It's up
there
now.
It's surreal, isn't it?
It's really surreal.
Like, can you imagine having to advertise yourself when you're England's number one striker?
I
know he wasn't by that point. Rooney had taken over, but he was still, you know, highly regarded.
And it's clear, though, that Owen clearly never thought of himself as a Championship player. He wasn't one of those that wanted to keep on playing and would accept, you know, lower down the leagues. He wanted to be a Premier League player.
Yeah. Despite the fact he'd spent the last 3 years largely being injured.
Yeah, exactly.
From, you know, loads of crazy stuff, like from obvious Achilles or hamstring to, you know, he spent 2 months out having collided with a Newcastle teammate.
Oh, really?
Wow. Just crazy stuff like that. So, I mean, he was incredibly unlucky with injuries. Like, it's worth saying.
Yeah.
And he, like you say, he put his body through it, I think, in those early years. Probably played way too much football, which
definitely from an early age,
about. But unfortunately, when you're that good, that tends to be what, I don't know if it would happen as much now, but it was certainly the way it was then.
Yeah, not to get all nerdy, but because of the advances in sports science and things like that, there is a huge magnifying glass on, like, overplaying young players, and so a lot of time they are they're given spells in the first team and then withdrawn.
What we have with Owen constantly is the end of a tenure at a club always seemed to end acrimoniously. Mm. The Liverpool one was a bit weird, the Madrid one was a bit weird, and then this happened at the end of Newcastle. So you got Newcastle been relegated, Shearer is kind of like, I'll stay if I'm needed. You know, obviously Geordie, you know, by heart saying, let's rally around, let's get back up, all this kind of stuff going on. So on the 14th of June, it was reported that this 34-page brochure had gone out. A week later, Owen confirmed he would not be re-signing for Newcastle in preference for a move to a Premier League club or another top-flight foreign club. It was reported that Owen would not begin negotiations with any other club until the 30th of June, when on expiry of his contract, he would become eligible for a free transfer. So he would not... It was said he would not begin negotiations with any other club until the 30th of June. 2 days later, he signed for United.
Why make the statement?
No. There's no win.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically, you're leaving a bad taste in people's mouth. He fell out with Shearer big time through this period. Shearer, obviously, I think historically now we know he had misgivings about the way that Owen selected himself to play, declared himself not fit in that run-in. He didn't go as far as to say it was Owen's fault they went down, but he certainly said he contributed to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And they, I mean, they still are at loggerheads about it now.
Yeah, I didn't realise they'd fallen out so badly.
Yeah, but even like 15 years on, it's a weird thing between them. So he left Newcastle with a bad taste in people's mouths, and he signed for United, which at the time was a massive shock.
Yeah. It was huge. And this is what turned the Liverpool fans against him.
Yeah.
It wasn't that he left to go to Real Madrid. It's that, he chose to go to United, which was crazy for a club that had given him so much, and for him who, it's not just he left Liverpool and that was an end of it. He was always trying to angle to come back, and there were always rumours of him coming back. So to go not just to United, but Sir Alex Ferguson's United.
Exactly, yeah. You kind of paint yourself then as a glory hunter rather than any degree of loyalty.
He was a mercenary, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it came across. So finally, the United days, he scored, obviously, the iconic goal. Anything else at him at United is really not worth talking about.
No, exactly. It's only that derby goal.
Yeah, I mean, that was brilliant, and it was great TV.
Yeah.
The fact that Owen scored the winner and Old Trafford going nuts against City.
One of the best ever games.
It was a great derby. Yeah, for a neutral, it was brilliant to watch. Craig Bellamy out sprinting Rio Ferdinand was good fun. But ultimately, that's all he really did. He was ruled out for the season in February. So he only played a few months. When he returned the following season, United manager Ferguson had stated at the start of the season, Owen was a key part of his squad for this season. However, 2 weeks later, he suffered a groin injury and missed the next 2 months. He returned in time enough to make enough appearances just to win a league winner's medal for United that season. Interestingly, his first in 15 years as a pro footballer. He strikes me as someone that's like, he just follows where the noise is loudest, but always seems to get there just too late.
Yeah, exactly. He's the bloke down the road who's gone, they're having a party at the end of the cul-de-sac. I'm going to head over. By the time he gets there, everyone's driven off. Like, see you next week. He's like, okay. Even, the music's still playing, but...
That's it. Even with United, he just has enough appearances during the season to get a league winner. I don't know if there's a part of him that's like, this wasn't really...
He can't feel like he earned that. And that's not necessarily his fault, because if he's injured, he's injured. But
yeah,
it's got to feel cheap. That's not the way anyone wants to win winner's medal.
So he then signed, amazingly, he then signed a one-year extension with United, but played only four times after that one-year extension as a thigh injury again hampered him. His last game for United was in November 2nd in the Champions League against a team I couldn't even...
Pronounce.
It was that kind of, it was that Champions League group stage where no one gives a crap. They already know who's going to win the group to get through. November 2nd, he announced on Twitter the following May he would be leaving United. And then almost immaterially, he joined Stoke.
So bizarre, isn't it?
Which barely seemed, this is like the last three lines of this story.
I'm pretty certain he scores once for Stoke.
He does score once.
Yeah.
He scores one goal.
That's sad.
Against Southampton before getting injured again. And then on the 19th of May, 2013, having announced he would be retiring. I mean, this is nice, I guess. Having announced he would be retiring, he came on a sub for the last 6 minutes, quite obviously couldn't run.
Yeah.
Both sets of fans gave him a standing ovation as he ran on.
That is nice, but it's just out with a whimper, isn't it? That's what's so sad.
Like I said at the start, it is a really sad. You think that seems so far away from those...
The heights of the hazy days. Ballon d'Or winning.
Yeah, yeah, Argentina goal, the Liverpool days.
Yeah.
To end like that, and you know, really from Madrid onwards, it just faded out in terms of his impact on world football.
Yeah.
From a guy that you thought would be impacting world football for years and years and years. It ultimately is a really sad story.
Yeah.
There's no little anecdote at the end to kind of go, oh, isn't it funny? Other than the fact he went on to hit a badger and tweeted about it.
That's your favourite Owen fact.
I do love that, yeah. For that, my friend, is the final countdown of Michael Owen.
Oh, thanks very much, Addy. It is good to be remembered of the good times, even if it it ended as a damp squib. But join us next week. We have an incredible report for the Eternal Man in the Eternal City.